Christmas is just around the corner, and then it's 2026. Where did the year go? It's been a good year for the JSC, with a 30% jump in the all-share index, more or less, driven predominantly by precious metals. Can this continue, though, into 2026? And what are the likely sparks of growth as we head into the new year? To help us understand this, we're joined once again by Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth. Hi, Adrian. Good to talk to you as always. Did 2025 play out more or less as you expected? And what can we expect as we head into the new year?
Hi, Kieran, and welcome to everybody listening in. Yeah, I think, you know, it's one of those things. Over short periods, things can be quite unpredictable. I mean, we typically like to think about more structural things that might shift over time when we start to think about opportunities and challenges that we might face. But we were expecting a volatile year, which did transpire. I think that much was obvious. I don't think anybody expected a placid administration out of the US. I don't think anybody expected a quick resolution of any of the geopolitical tension. But yeah, there's been a few surprises as well on the fiscal policy side, both domestically and abroad, and on the monetary policy side as well. And ultimately, these two things are huge drivers of where markets could be going and where volatility could be coming from.
Yeah, one of the surprises for many people as we entered the year just past 2025 was how well the Rand did. And then we got removed from the grey list. So those were two kind of nice surprises. Suddenly things started to look quite promising for the economy. Do you expect this momentum to carry on into 2026?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we often think about the exchange rate movements purely from the perspective of a South African investor. But a lot of what we have seen was actually more dollar weakness. And we've seen the dollar fall out of favor. We've seen central banks globally start to move away from U.S. treasuries into gold stockpiling in their reserves. And that in itself will also have an impact on the dollar and where the weakness came from, at least in part. And obviously the exchange rate will benefit from that and the Rand will strengthen. But at the same time, we do see early signs of improvement in South Africa. You know, the grey list thing is quite important. It's almost interesting to see how negative the take on something like that is when we go onto the list, but somehow markets are more immune to the good news when we're removed from the list. But eventually, these things that all start to move into the right direction start to have a collective impact. I mean, we've seen Eskom latest results come out. Financially, they look in a better position. Transnet was a huge stumbling block. All of a sudden, volumes are starting to pick up again. The GNU, although volatile, and I don't think we should expect anything less in politics, but things seem to be working with, you know, sort of unilateral view and policy, a lot more scrutiny on that front, which is long-term really positive. We've seen a lot of good communication out of our Reserve Bank around how they see policy going forward and what they envisage for the country from an inflation perspective and why that would be positive. And then there's other economic factors around PMIs, confidence levels are returning, car sales are moving higher. So there's quite a few things that just on the ground seems to point in the right direction.
Right. And there's also been discussion about a potential market bubble in the US. And how do we interpret this? Do you see this, the talk about a bubble, as being relevant? And is this likely to play out in 2026 in a negative way?
Yeah, I think that's really the big question, the elephant in the room, really. I think, you know, especially in our process, we do focus on valuation because we don't want to overpay for assets. So when you look at a market like the US and you see where valuations are trading, it does look quite concerning. And we know over the long term, it doesn't typically end well when investors sort of without being valuation cognizant just enter these markets without thinking that there's going to be a longer term impact. But that being said, market valuations has almost no correlation to market movements over a short period. In other words, you know, it's just as likely for markets to pull back as what it is for them to get more expensive over the short term. over the long term, the valuation becomes a serious structural issue. But you should be careful to infer from purely valuation that the market could pull back. Our view is that there could definitely be a pullback, and the valuations, more than signaling that a pullback is imminent, it more signals for us that a pullback is warranted and is somewhere on the horizon. But, you know, we also think about Peter Lynch used to say, more people have lost money waiting for corrections than in corrections themselves, which is so, so true. You know, investors that have been calling for a market collapse for years have been on sitting on the sidelines. So you need to be very, very careful. And I think a key thing that has changed this year, and I think will remain unchanged into next year, is there has been a huge turnaround. I mentioned monetary and fiscal policy, but in the US case specifically, I think these were very key drivers, because in an environment where interest rates are moving higher and governments are pulling back on fiscal spending, it becomes very difficult to see how the economy can continue to grow. And then from there, investors start to get a little bit more skeptical about what the future prospects might be. But in this year, we've seen Trump absolutely hone down on the Fed. He wants much softer conditions, lower interest rates. He's doing absolutely anything in his power to exert influence in that environment, although they're supposed to be standing independently. It looks like he's going to get his way, and he's going to have new leadership in the Fed next year. And that mandate is going to be bring interest rates down. Long term, probably not the best idea to have, let's call it, a compromised Fed. But over the short term, that will be good news for markets. And on the fiscal spending side, they made a complete 180 in terms of, guys, we've got a fiscal deficit here. We need to seriously think about how we spend money and be more efficient. And Elon Musk went on his rampage and trying to cut back and government efficiency and all those things. But not long after, Bessent said, well, we'll continue spending because that's what we need for growth. So they completely changed the narrative. So if you've got both fiscal and monetary tailwinds at your back, you've got to be very careful before you start betting against the economy or markets. So we've got a sort of balanced view. Risks are most certainly escalating and high, but be careful of waiting for corrections and being out of the market. So I think for us, the right way to sort of go about it is where we have equity mandates, position them defensively, but still for growth. And there's very good businesses that continue to generate good free cash flow, but don't demand these extreme valuations. Disinvesting and sitting on the sidelines in cash, I think, is a bigger risk.
Right. And finally, if you're talking about interest rates as we're heading into 2026, things are looking quite positive for South Africa. The Reserve Bank's new 3% target looks like it's working, and it's got buy-in from government and just about everybody else. So things could be quite positive for people who want to take on debt next year. But how does one, as an investor, navigate all of these tailwinds and rocks and hurdles that you've just been talking about as we head into 2026?
Yeah, I think in the South African context, we're very fortunate, because whilst US valuations are getting to extreme levels, South African assets remain cheap, regardless of the fact that they've rallied by 30%, as you've mentioned. I mean, that rally was largely focused within the precious metal space, with the PGMs and gold rallying. And we still see quite a bit of opportunity in domestic markets, especially around the banks are still paying out very decent dividends. They remain cash generative, free cash flow yields are quite high, and they're still growing. So there's definitely opportunities domestically, and you can invest there without being too worried. I think obviously you run into a scenario that should we see a US pullback, obviously most markets will sell off in a panic. But I think we'll see a rebound out of South African assets to more normalized levels. So the question is, do you want to participate now? And there could be an opportunity to buy in even lower. But to our minds, we think you might outsmart yourself where you don't participate and the rally just continues for longer. I mean, like you've mentioned, the currency has been super strong. But we haven't even seen foreign investors come back to South African markets yet. They've sort of re-entered our bond markets. But on the equity side, they haven't been there. Most of the domestic buying is coming through optimism from large local institutions that feel more comfortable that the situation is more under control. And if we see these massive amounts of US capital start entering other markets that have been sort of forgotten over the last decade plus in international assets, in emerging markets, South Africa screens very well from a valuation perspective. And now there's fewer constraints or concerns around the macro backdrop or political backdrop than what they were a year ago. So those things can still really put a good underpinning under South African assets in particular.
All right, we're going to leave it there. That was Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth. Thanks very much, Adrian.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Enjoy the chat.